From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the science of war. Here's what's happening. And before I get into some of the major stories of the day, I do want to address that tragedy that occurred over the weekend in Orlando, Florida. As you know, for some time, I have been saying that I have sensed that something big was going to happen somewhere. This could very well be it, my friends. This could very well be it. A very tragic story. A sick individual. I would say that he was radicalized. But I do want to say this. I know a lot of people of the Muslim faith. They are professionals. They are fast food workers. They are UPS drivers. They stay at home. They're mothers. I've known them for years. They're good people. They're dedicated people. They love America. They came over from the Middle East to get away from all that's happening over there. And I don't want this situation to ruin that dream that they have just because of another sick individual, a demented person, a person who was interviewed twice by the FBI, but they figured, hey, there's nothing really wrong with him, so they let him go. A person whose ex-wife says, he beat me just because I didn't do the laundry. A person whose people who have been associated with him said that he talked of murder and killing. A sick individual, once again, has now made the top list for the largest mass murder in history in the United States. I contemplated all day whether to cancel our regular programming tonight on Coast to Coast and just do programming related to this tragedy. And I decided not to. And let me tell you why. I think all of us, for just a short time, 4 hours, need a break. We need a diversion for just a little bit. We can't forget this story, and we won't. As a matter of fact, I've got a couple news guests coming up in a second. We're going to talk about this. But we just need a break. So we will continue with our regular programming tonight and tomorrow and the next day. And I hope you understand. Now to the news of the day, including this tragedy, this story. At least four regular customers at the Orlando nightclub where this gunman killed 49 people, and that will go much higher, said that they had seen Omar Mateen there before. One person said sometimes he would go over in the corner and sit and drink by himself, and other times he would get so drunk he was loud and belligerent. More details emerged about this 29-year-old gunman and what he did in the days leading up to this massacre, the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. He was at Walt Disney World in April. I wonder what he was thinking about there. FBI Director James Comey said his agency was trying to nail down that report about the possibility that Mateen was scouting the amusement park as a potential target as well. They're also looking for a possible accomplice in this situation. Greg Hunter, of course, expert, USAWatchdog.com. Greg, I want to get your thoughts on this tragic story. Go ahead.
Well, you have to bring up this fact, and not a lot of people have been touting this fact, and that is, where did he get radicalized? The FBI in 2009 did a report and said 10%, this is the FBI, 2009 report, 10% of all mosques, according to them, were radicalizing people, to handing out violent jihadist-type information and teaching that. 10% of all mosques in America is roughly, there's 2,000, a little bit more than 2,000 mosques in America. That's 200 mosques. One of the ones where Omar went to was the Fort Pierce Islamic Center, where the Justice Department shut down an investigation into the Fort Pierce Islamic Center. Because they want to single out the Muslim religion, and listen, I know there's a lot of good Muslims out there. But they are being radicalized at the mosque level. We had one imam come out, during the shooting and say, "Oh, it's not a religion," all that. Okay, great, that's fantastic. We had another one come out and say that killing gays was an act of mercy.
Yeah.
So So, you know, you have to call this what it is. And it is a, it is radical Islamic terror. And the ones that you're talking about, the good ones that you're talking about, those are apostates, and according to some, in that religion, that they aren't radical enough. That's like, you know, reports early on about ISIS killing, Muslims and killing Al-Qaeda members because they weren't radical enough. And this is coming from mosques, and some of this is coming from the Quran. You can't separate that. If you want to separate that, you can't. That is a fact. And there's other reports saying that there's a much higher radicalization at mosques around America. But since President Obama's been in office, we don't look into that. We don't do any of that.
Well, and we have to, Greg. I mean, here's a guy who slipped through once again, another individual slips through the FBI's hands when everybody was saying there's something wrong with this guy. This guy was an armed security guard who was working for a company that
for the government.
Yes, a company that was sanctioned for the Department of Homeland Security. We've got to do a better job screening these people and getting them out of the country or arresting them or doing something, because if we don't, we're going to have more and more sick cases like this all the time.
It's not just a sick individual. It's part of a religion that is sick. And I hate to say that, but this isn't just some, and this is another thing, this narrative from the ultra-left-wing progressing to communism liberals saying, well, you know, there's Dylann Roof, he's a Christian. Yes, but he didn't kill in the name of Christ. There's the bomber of the Olympic Park bomber, the Atlanta bomber in 1996. Yes, but he wasn't part of ISIS. He wasn't inspired by the Christian ISIS movement or whatever that would be. These are people that happen to be Christian. This is a ISIS inspired radical Islam with a goal to destroy anybody that doesn't believe what they believe. And listen, being Muslim is the opposite of Christianity. It is the opposite. I just want you to know that, and you should understand that. They don't believe Christ was deity. They don't believe Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. They don't believe Christ died on the cross for our sins. They don't believe he rose again from the dead, and they don't believe he'll come back and judge the living and the dead. They believe that he wasn't a god. They believe he wasn't born of the Virgin Mary. They believe he didn't die on the cross, and when he comes back, he'll say he's a liar, and he'll execute Christians and Jews.
All right, bottom line, though, Greg, bottom line, what do we do about it as a nation?
That has to, listen, anybody that comes into America has to completely shun any kind of this Islamic law or this any kind of this Islamic jihad, anybody that is doing any of that. His father is a sympathizer to Taliban. Boom, you're gone. You're a sympathizer to Taliban. You're an enemy of the United States government. Period, the end.
All right.
So I don't know. Trump has hit a nerve on this one about this temporary ban of Muslim people. Oh, you can't do that. Well, you can't. Every agency in America, the DIA, the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, all of them say the same thing. We can't properly vet these people.
All right. But, Greg, what I don't want to see is a witch hunt in this country like the 50s when everybody was a communist and they went after just about everybody they could. Again, I will say this repeatedly. I know many Muslims who are family people, who love this country, who work hard. They're dedicated people. And I just don't want people, just because they practice the Muslim faith, the Islamic faith, to go after them thinking that every one of them is a terrorist. We have got to do a better job with law enforcement, screening these people, not getting them into the country, getting them out of the country if they're already here. There have been reports that there are thousands of people like this Mateen guy in the United States already. We got to do something about that. Meanwhile, thank you, Greg, by the way. The photo from Omar Mateen's high school yearbook is hardly remarkable. Shows a toothy, dimpled smile with a peach fuzz mustache, a mop of black hair. His transformation from high school football player to perpetrator of America's worst mass shooting raises questions about whether red flags were missed over the depth of his apparent sympathies with Muslim extremists. As families of the victims grieved and the nation recoiled at the scale of yet another mass shooting, a picture began to emerge of the 29-year-old killer as a quiet, devout person who in recent years displayed a hateful and violent streak. As I said earlier, his ex-wife described him as bipolar, emotionally disturbed, with a violent temper as well. I thought it's time that we bring in our psychiatrist, Dr. Peter Breggin. Peter, you know more about the mind than most people. What's wrong with somebody like this?
Well, first, George, I just want to say that you bring a very even-handed, always empathic view of difficult situations, and I just want to thank you for doing that, because it's very, 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 very needed right now. I think that there's just a lot of important things about all this. We have on the one hand the psychology of hatred. This is a hateful man, and on the other hand, we have a religious movement that is inspiring and channeling hatred, hating young men. So the two come together. We have our psychology and we have ideology. This boy, when he was 16, was, you know, mocking and celebrating 9-1-1, 9-11.
Yeah, and they should have known right then there's a problem here.
I mean, early on, he's got a father who sounds like he's homophobic, makes a big deal about his son saw two gay men kissing as if that's justification for murder. The father who hours before the shooting was on the air doing some sort of bizarre video imitating or trying to make believe he was Karzai, and yet at the same time calling for the murder of the leaders of Afghanistan. So, I mean, his father's a piece of work. But we can't ignore the fact that there are always going to be disturbed and hateful youngsters.
I mean, could you say, Peter, categorically, that the guy's insane? Can you say that?
No, I don't think we can say that he meets the criteria that most people mean by insane, which is that he's hallucinating or deluded or can't relate to people or is ineffective or ineffectual. No, I think he's filled with hate, and he is raised in an ideology of hate within his father's particular brand of the religion, where he's praising the Taliban. And the hate gets justified and channeled and amplified by what's going on in the world right now in the radical Muslim community, which is has a great deal of sympathy around the world.
Well, and the radical Muslims hate. There's no doubt about that. Peter, thank you. More from you a little bit later on in the weeks ahead, no doubt. CIA Director John Brennan said in an interview with a Saudi Arabian television station that he expects the 28 classified pages of a U.S. congressional report into the 9/11 attacks to absolve Saudi Arabia of any responsibility. Microsoft Corporation has agreed to buy LinkedIn for $26.2 billion in its biggest deal ever, combining the software giant's fast-growing cloud services business with an online network of 433 million professionals. What an amazing story. Okay, up next, Dr. Joel Wallach from Critical Health News joins us. We're going to talk about your health. I've got some emails for the doc, and we're going to take your phone calls as well. Just to give you a head start, the website is criticalhealthnews.com. The phone number is 1-855-949-7234. That's 1-855-949-RADIO. There are people there to help you. Doc Wallach's criticalhealthnews.com team are partners and sponsors of the program. You've heard that by now. Good people. And later on in the program, we're going to tell you how you can get involved with them, especially during some tough times financially for a lot of you, something that the doc holds very dear to his heart. Up next, Dr. Joel Wallach, criticalhealthnews.com. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Dr. Joel Wallach with us. Doc Wallach has been with us for a couple of years now from criticalhealthnews.com. As I mentioned, they're sponsors of the program, obviously, and partners with us in getting out some vital information and issues that can help you. I've got a slew of emails that have come in from people who want some help from the doc, and we're going to take your calls a little bit later on in the program, and he'll be with us next hour as well. Doc, trying times these days, my friend, but thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you so much for your hospitality. As always, it was a great contact in the desert this year. Fabulous birthday party. You did such a great job.
I had fun. I had fun doing that.
A lot of fun.
Tommy wanted it to be a surprise party, but there's no way that could have been kept a surprise at all. Doc, lots of people have been writing in wanting some information about their own health, but let me ask you this as we get going tonight. You've been with us for at least a year and a half. You've helped a lot of people with vital information for criticalhealthnews.com. In your opinion, are people beginning to get it in terms of taking care of their own health?
Oh, I believe they are, George, for many, many reasons. And, of course, I give 400 lectures a year plus all my radio. And the thing that I'm seeing is that I used to get maybe 300, 400, 500 people a week come to all the events that week combined. Now we're getting 10,000 new people a month coming in. A lot of it has to do with the contact through your airwaves because you have such a loyal audience. They're very intelligent.
Oh, passionate.
And and so we are definitely seeing, I can see it in their faces when I'm lecturing, people get it. That the medical system has failed us terribly, and we have to take over. Our kids will be the first generation that do not live as long as their parents. The doctors get an F minus minus on that one. And if I may, if I can throw one thing here on this terrible, terrible event in
sure.
Orlando,
please
put things in perspective. As terrible as it is, where this guy kills 49 people, and as you say, more will die because there's some in critical condition. This year, Johns Hopkins, the first medical school in America, one of the finest, well-respected medical schools, wrote a paper on death certificates, which is published in the British Medical Journal. What they said was mistakes by doctors, medical mistakes by doctors, were the third leading cause of death in America. And they said, on the average each year, medical mistakes by doctors kill, that's the word they use, killed 251,000 people a year.
That's frightening.
As horrible a thing as this terrible, terrible man did, this young man, 29-year-old guy, killed 49 people and wounded 53, some of which will die. It's horrible. It's horrible. There's one event, and each year, a yearly figure, medical doctors, by mistake, kill 251,000, making them the third leading cause of death in America. Heart disease is number two, and proactive death by medical doctors is number one. Proactive meaning treatment mistakes, dosage mistakes. They use the wrong treatment, that sort of stuff. And that's the number one killer. 15 million are killed, injured, and infected by doctors each year in America, according to the Center for Disease Control, the Journal of the American Medical Association, and the Institute of Medicine.
What causes this kind of disaster in the medical community? I mean, just doctors who don't understand what they're doing, they don't check. What's going on?
Well, there's several things going on here. It's a very perceptive question on your part. There's several things going on. Number one, on the mistake side, according to the Department of Public Health at the medical school, at Harvard Medical School, Lucian LePay, the head of that department, in 1990, and they redid it again in 2014, he found by taking random blood samples of people in the emergency room surgery areas and in surgical clinics all across America, 52% of medical doctors are intoxicated during their working day on alcohol, street drugs, and prescription drugs. And I've said for 20 years that they should be having a breathalyzer test before they're allowed in the surgery room. They should have a urine screening test where you take a test strip and stick it in their urine sample and see if they have any drugs in them. And then they shouldn't be able to go in. If you catch them three times, then you take their license away and make them go do something else in their life because they obviously don't want to do the right thing. Secondly, They're a protective monopoly, self-policing, with no oversight by any agency for over 100 years. In other words, there's nobody coming in there quarterly and checking their billing, see if that's correct. They just arrested a guy in Texas for overbilling by $375 million.
Doc, hold on for a sec. We're already at the break, and we're going to come back for more, and we've got Doc Wallach next hour, too. Wow, this Saturday, our live event in St. Louis. That's why I'm here right now, the Gateway to the West. And if you want full information, it's at coasttocoastam.com. Come on by. We're going to have a great, fun event, and that's going well. Now, those of you who can't get into St. Louis physically, you can still watch it. There is a link at coasttocoastam.com right next to the highlight reel, and you know, you can pick it up that way as well. And then in August, I'm in Asheville, North Carolina. That's a very small theater, folks, and those tickets are going really, really fast. So there's full information on that, too, at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back in a moment, Dr. Joel Wallach with us from criticalhealthnews.com. Well, there you are. I told you they're sponsors of the show, and they've been for at least a couple of years now doing a great job supporting what we do here at Coast to Coast, and we support what they do. CriticalHealthNews.com, and the phone number for you is 855-949-7234. Doc Wallach with us. We'll get to your calls for the rest of this half hour and next hour as well. Doc, a couple of emails in from people who are concerned, and I have to congratulate you, by the way. You've got more energy than anybody I've ever known. Even though I was celebrating my birthday last week, I mean, you keep going. You're like the Energizer Bunny. Where do you get that energy?
Well, I've been taking the 90 essential nutrients at two doses a day for 70 years. And
so, 70 years?
70 years.
I thought you were only 50 years old.
Well, most people think I am 50, but I'm 76. And so, you know, my blood pressure is 90 over 60 without medication. My pulse is 36, except when I get angry, it'll spike up to 39. I haven't been sick, no surgeries, no prescription medications for 70 years, not even a cold.
Good for you. Good for you. So let me rattle off a few emails here, help some folks, okay, and then we'll get to the calls, too. Sure. This is from Ben in Wichita. He says he's beginning to suffer the early stages of macular degeneration. First of all, can you explain what that is to people, Doc, and what he might be able to do?
Well, macular degeneration is a degeneration of the retina of the eye, and we're talking about the same sort of skin pigment that you see with liver spots and age spots in the retina of the back of the eye. And so it blocks the light and the image going into the brain. It's an impediment. And so what we do is we approach this in such a way that we stop the ongoing damage by changing the diet, getting all the inflammatory things out of people's diets, such as fried foods and processed meats with nitrates and nitrites, things like deli slices and sandwich meats and Spam and jerky, and no oils, and no microwave popcorn, no theater popcorn, no olive oil, coconut oil, margarines, mayonnaise, salad dressing, cooking oils, and no gluten, no wheat, no barley, rye oats. Get all that inflammation out of there. And the oils are very important because they oxidize and turn into trans fats, and they're one of the biggest problems in the retina of the eye. And I actually had that question asked to me during a lecture one time. I had 300 people in a lecture, and that was the first question during the Q&A. And I said, well, it's easily reversed. And some guy jumps up in the back room and says, Wallach, you're a liar. There's no way you can fix this. This is a thing of aging and can't be reversed. There's nothing. I said, well, who are you, sir? And he says, well, I'm an eye doctor. So I'll tell you what, let's have a wager. You get me 12 of your patients that you've diagnosed with macular degeneration, and they've been legally blind for 6, 8, 10 years, and we'll put them on my protocol. If I could get 6 out of the 12, if I could get 50% to read 20, 20, 90 days, will you apologize in public? He says, if you could get 1, I'll apologize.
Wow.
So the next day, George, he brings me a box with 27 charges, true story. And I look at them all. They're all still alive. He diagnosed them with macular degeneration, all been legally blind, 6, 8, 10 years. He said, pick your 12. And so I looked at him. I said, I'll tell you what if we take them all? He says, okay, let's take them all. But he says, we're going to take them all. We have to decide who's going to pay for all the supplements. I said, okay, well, if I win, if I can get my 50%, then you'll pay. If I fail, then I'll pay. He says, deal. I said, let's take them all.
To make a long story short, I set up a protocol which I gave to each of the 27 patients and talked to myself to make sure everything was going to be done right. And I gave them the protocol for 90 days. And in 90 days, all 27, George, could read 20/20. Only two required glasses. 25 didn't even require glasses. Well, this eye doctor, he actually kept his word. He apologized in public. But he gave me something. It wasn't part of the wager. He gave me a CD that he had made called Seeing is Believing, and it tells the whole story and how we did it. And we do this literally hundreds and hundreds of times a year, maybe more than that. Those are the ones that I know about. But people listening to the CD are able to do that. And they can get them through your number.
Right. Now, John Flaxman writes, he lives in Canada, and he says, I'm 175 pounds. I'm pretty fit, but I have deteriorating discs in the lower back. What do I do about that? So how do you help him?
Thank you, George. Well, sir, your discs in your back are kind of like everything else. They tend to want to go away. Over time, they will lose resiliency. They'll shrink. You'll get degenerative disc disease. Instead of being 5 millimeters thick, they might be 3. Instead of 10 millimeters thick in some places, they'll be 4. And you start getting symptoms, peripheral neuropathies, numbness and pain and burning in the feet, hands and fingers. You can get AFib, atrial fibrillation, and the ones in the chest are degenerating, and the ones in the lower back, if they're degenerating, you could get bladder problems, and doctors will think it's a prostate problem when it's really a back problem. Well, what we like to do is, again, get rid of all the bad stuff, no fried foods, no processed meats, no oils or gluten, and then take what we would call 2 healthy brain and heart packs per month, and this is designed to support and promote maintenance repair of many tissues. But to make it specific for the disc in the back, I would also throw in what we call glucogel. It's our secret sauce for supporting and promoting maintenance repair of the disc, cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue. And we have such remarkable results. So we get people from all over the world who will use this approach, this protocol for low back problems, bulging disc, ruptured disc, sciatica, again, irritable bladder syndrome, AFib, and it all goes away.
Let's take some calls, and I have more emails for you, Doc, and we're going to do this again next hour for people who don't have a chance to get to you for this time. Thomas is in La Jolla, California. Welcome to the show. Hi, Thomas.
Good evening, George, and thank you for being the voice of reason, sir.
Thank you.
And Joel Wallach, it's an honor and a privilege to speak with you.
You're very kind. Thank you, sir.
My question is, you say that wheat, barley, rye, oats, because they're gluten, can possibly be toxic. I'm wondering about other, for example, wheatgrass juice from the leaf of sprouted wheat, and quinoa, which is very popular here on the West Coast. And so wheatgrass juice and quinoa. And a third question, if I may. You know, I deal with critical health news, ordering products, but they don't seem to know where to purchase your audio CDs. You just mentioned Seeing is Believing. There's a couple of other audio CDs. Do you have another website?
You just go through that same number, and probably 90% of those people do know how to get them and to you. Use the same number. And the interesting thing about this is that wheatgrass juice is potentially dangerous because if you cut it 2 inches above the seeds when you sprout wheatgrass and you put the harvested wheatgrass in a juicer, you get some nice gluten-free wheatgrass juice most of the time. But on occasion, you'll get some contamination. If somebody's really severely sensitive to gluten, I would not even use wheatgrass, barley grass, oatgrass, or ryegrass juices. And just because there is some possibility for contamination. Somebody holds the seeds and then they hold the grass and so forth. And there's just enough contamination, just like peanut allergies are so egregious. There was actually one guy, he was eating peanuts at a baseball game. He came home and kisses his little 3-year-old daughter on the lips, and she died immediately from anaphylactic shock because she was sensitive to peanut proteins. And so there are people who are extremely sensitive, and so you can't carte blanche say that wheatgrass juice is safe. It's potentially safe, but if you are, if you do have a gluten intolerance, and you have eczema and asthma and all that kind of stuff, belly problems, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, I would not even eat or consume or drink wheatgrass, barley grass, ryegrass, or oatgrass juices.
I hope that helps you, Tom. Next up, we go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Welcome to the show. Hi, Frank. Welcome. Go ahead.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you. Dr. Wallach, thank you for who you are and what you do. My best friend has a sleeping problem. Would you explain sleep apnea, what it is and what it isn't? Because he falls asleep at the drop of a hat. No exaggeration. And he falls asleep in mid-sentence while I'm talking to him.
Okay, well, he...
How he drives to Washington, D.C. three times a week, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, this is a very interesting disease. I see this literally thousands of times a month. People will fall asleep a half hour after meals, or during the meal, kind of thing. And you know it's going to happen because they have a long history of it. In the old days, it used to be called narcolepsy, and where they fall asleep right in the middle of a sentence. And today we call it reactive hypoglycemia or hyperinsulinemia. It has to do with high levels of insulin, which drop your blood sugar down to about 45. It should be about 100. It drops it down to 45. And these are the people who, while they're driving, they'll fall asleep, they'll cross the center line, hit somebody head-on, kill themselves and somebody else. Very, very common. This happens. I actually know one guy that did that. He survived the crash, but he fell asleep and a half hour after he ate, and so I immediately knew the problem. And so what he's got to do is stay away from carbohydrates and sugars. He has to eat like vegetables, like steamed vegetables, but I'd have him stay away from even potatoes and bread, even gluten-free bread, because it's not the gluten. What's happening is it's initiating a sudden drop in blood sugar, which causes them to go to sleep, very deep sleep. That's called, again, narcolepsy in the old terms, and it's also known as reactive hypoglycemia or hyperinsulinemia. Now, sleep apnea, and of course, that's easily dealt with our protocol that we use for type 2 diabetes, okay? And this protocol will work handsomely, very well, as long as they stay away from carbohydrates and sugar. Okay, now sleep apnea is another story. Doctors make a lot of money. They actually, you know, they have their little laboratories. They will film you sleeping, and they'll show you how on their little gauges and everything how you stop breathing for 2 or 3 minutes. And it's very, very, what should I say, scary to the average person.
I mean, do they stop breathing, Doc, for a few minutes?
Oh, yeah.
That does happen.
They'll stop breathing for 2-3 minutes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But see, George, this is a normal behavior. Sleep apnea is absolutely normal, and docs have made a normal behavior a disease.
Well, what do you mean normal? Stopping breathing for 2 minutes is not that normal.
Oh, yeah. Now, watch a dog sleep. When he's sleeping, he'll stop breathing every couple of minutes for a couple of minutes. An elephant stops breathing when they're sleeping. A giraffe stops breathing. Everything stops breathing. All vertebrates stop breathing when they sleep. It's called sleep apnea, and it's a normal behavior. And what it has to do with the carbon dioxide level in your blood. Let's say you're the sort of person who...
I mean, but I'd rather not stop breathing when I'm sleeping.
Well, but it's normal.
Huh. All right, go ahead.
It's not a disease. Nobody dies from sleep apnea. Nobody dies from snoring unless their sleep partner shoots them. Okay? In the old days, Grandma and Grandpa would sleep in separate bedrooms until they wanted to get frisky when one of them would snore or have sleep apnea. It was very disturbing to the other sleep partner. And they would just deal with it that way. Nobody ever dies of sleep apnea. Nobody gets a heart attack. It's all nonsense. Okay, remember, I'm a pathologist as well as a physician and a veterinarian, and this is all a lie to sell CPAP machines and drugs and surgery. Now, what happens is when you're the sort of person, you go to sleep in a certain position, 6 hours later you wake up, you're in the same position, you haven't even moved a finger, you're the sort of person that's going to have very dramatic sleep apnea because you're not generating a lot of the carbon dioxide. And when your carbon dioxide levels drop below a certain line, you stop breathing. And it'll slowly build up in your blood again, and when it crosses that line, goes back up and crosses that line, going the other direction, you'll take a deep breath and you'll start breathing again. And this is a normal cycle. You can see it in every vertebrate that sleeps. Just go to the zoo and watch animals that sleep at the zoo, bears and pandas and hummingbirds. Everything has sleep apnea. It's normal. And that whole thing is a scam. to sell machines and drugs and surgery.
All right. Now, here's a lengthy email, but this is very important for her, so we're gonna pass this on to you and see what you can give her in terms of advice. This is for her daughter. The daughter is Sandra. She's 47. Kidney problems since a teen. She's 5'7", weighs 140. She's had four children. Diet as a teen was normal. She ate American junk, she says. Since at about the age 20, it has greatly improved, the diet. At age 25, her kidney function was 50%. Now it's 15%. It's decreasing at 1% a month. She says the doctors did a biopsy, determined that the filter media of the kidneys is not functional. And 3 weeks ago, the doctors installed a port in her side to allow dialysis. Now they've done some pre-op prep for a transplant, and they're planning that operation next fall. What do you think of the doctor's conclusions, Doc? That's what she asks, and is there anything that can be done to reverse her condition?
Sure. Well, I'd like to see the slides myself, because, again, I'm a pathologist. But 99% of the time when people have kidney failure and they're put on dialysis or get kidney transplants, there's nothing wrong with the kidney. It's another big scam. 99% when you have kidney failure, there's nothing wrong with your kidney. What's happening here, George, is that the little afferent arteries that carry the dirty blood into the filtering units called glomeruli are plugged. And you can't get the dirty blood into the filtering units because these little arteries are plugged. And the kidney isn't working, not because there's something wrong with the kidney. It's just because the arteries are plugged, can't get the dirty blood into the filtering units. So I learned 38 years ago how to support healthy blood flow through obstructed arteries. And I've taken people, George, who haven't peed in 10 years. They have not peed one drop in 10 years, and they're getting dialysis 6 days a week as a result. And that went on for, I mean, why didn't they get a kidney transplant? Because the doctor's milking them like an ATM machine. Okay? And so we put them on the program, which I'll lay out in a second, and say, oh, maybe 2 months, they'll start peeing, like a teaspoon. A couple of weeks, they're peeing a tablespoon. Another couple of weeks, they're peeing like a coffee cup full, and then they have normal volume after that, and another couple of months are off of dialysis. And I do this many, many times a month. I know in Canada we do it a lot. We do it a lot down here in the States.
All right, Doc, stay with us. We're already at the top of the hour. We're going to come back with you in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. And I do want to get some phone numbers out. And again, it's criticalhealthnews.com, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-7234. The website, criticalhealthnews.com. And I also wanted to pass on that they have a new program for you, that if you are looking to set up your own little business, they're there for you to give you some information and help you get going. I am told it is very, very nominal, but that is for those of you who only want to do your own little business and try to generate some of your own income. I'm passing that on to you. I hope that helps. 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. That's the phone number. They're not doctors when you call. You're not talking to Doc Wallach, but you're talking to people who will help you and assist you. And the website, of course, is criticalhealthnews.com. And as far as we're concerned with a little side business, don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, if you would. You get lots of information all the time. Lex is constantly updating that and passing on some information for you. He is one heck of a guy. So stick with us. We're going to come back in a moment with Doc Wallach on Coast to Coast AM.